saying the other night to the congregation that I don't know of anybody, I can't think of anybody out of all my travels around the world that I've got more confidence in than I have Brother Ben. I have known him for a long time, and as he says, the reports are very good. He loves the Lord. He loves the truth, and I feel it a real privilege to be here. Beautiful sanctuary. Glad to see the people coming to be with us. And you know, serving God to me is an abundance of joy. A lot of people, they try to serve God, but they really don't have any joy in serving the Lord. And the reason is because they don't know anything about God. If they knew anything about God, then they'd have a great joy. But they don't know anything about God. And I say that very truthfully, to the extent that though I have traveled around the world and met hundreds and thousands of people, they know lots of things. But when I communicated with them, I found out they really didn't know nothing about God. As it was in the days of Moses and the days of Israel, they knew all kinds of things. They had so many ritualistics until it took a man a lifetime just to perform his ritualistics day by day. But in all reality, they knew nothing about God. And we find the same thing in the day we're living in, that people know many things. And they can tell you many things. They're acquainted with many things as to the societies of life, the organizations of the world, even the religious activities. But they know nothing about God. And that's why that the world is in the condition it's in today. That's why there's so much sickness, so much sorrow, so much heartaches. That's why the government can't control things around the world. And that's why people can't control their homes and control their children. Their whole life is out of control. It's because they don't know anything about God and they don't understand God. I consider it a real privilege to be here and to fellowship and for the opportunity to come and speak for our brother and speak to the people. And I like what Ben said just before I came up. You read a scripture there as to the word of reconciliation, and so carefully pointed out that it was the word of reconciliation. And that the Bible said, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. The Bible said that God so loved us while we were yet in our sins. While we were yet in our sins, that He gave His Son to die for us. So then, having loved us so much while we were yet in our sins, He gave His Son, the best thing that heaven could afford. How much more does He love us now that we are making an effort toward Him? And sometimes I think that this creates a great problem, not in that God has done anything to cause us problems, but in the sense that you can love so much till people take advantage of your love. You can be so kind that people do that. I've heard of men being so good to their wives until their wives left them. And when they were asked why, they said, well, it's just so good to me. I said, he's just too good to me. Sometimes, you know, people like a little bit of control, and they see strength. They see strength. Like a woman, she looks on a man and she sees a little strength. If he retaliates a little bit, you know, if she gets a little repercussion when she says something or acts up, then she perceives a strength. And if she doesn't perceive there's any strength. And God being so kind to us, sometimes we fail to recognize His great, mighty strength, His power and His judgment, because He is exceedingly good to us. And Paul said, surely the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. I want to read just a little bit from over in the book of Hebrews. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I'm a firm believer that if you can't find it in the Word, and if it doesn't found itself solely and completely upon the Word, then you don't need to mess with it. I believe in Revelation, and we preach the revelation of Jesus Christ because it was given to us. Had it not been given to us, we could not preach it. But after many years of seeking God and fasting and praying and traveling and preaching, not knowing there was such a thing, one day the Lord called me away and gave me the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to say the least, when I received the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I suddenly realized I never did know anything. And with all my efforts. But my efforts was what put me in a position for God to consider me. In that the Bible says that he that humbleth himself under the mighty hand of God, God will exalt him in due season. But if a man exalt himself, then God will abase him. So then, seeking God and finding humility before God, realizing my need for God, then God gave me compassion and mercy and gave to me the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, for which I am so grateful, because it brought a tranquility, a peace, rest in my soul that I had never experienced in all my life. Something that has never left me, and like Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you drink of this water, you shall never thirst again. I've never thirsted again since that time. So even though I hunger and thirst after the things of God in the sense of delighting myself in the Lord that he might fill my heart, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, yet as to have a thirst, as to a need, and that his grace is all sufficient, I've never thirsted again. I want to read from the book of Hebrews chapter 5. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I want to say again that revelation that comes from God always perfectly seeks the foundation of his word. And any kind of knowledge, any kind of revelation, any kind of anything that you're supposed to be some kind of revealing to you, if it doesn't have word foundation, let me encourage you to forget about it, because it doesn't have to do with God. Bible said that God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same to a thousand generations. He'll not alter the thing that's going out of his mouth. He'll not change it. He'll hasten to perform his word. It won't return unto him void, but he said it will accomplish that I please and prosper in that whereunto I've sent it. All right, chapter 6 it is, Hebrews. Let's read in chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified of themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herb, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing. Whose end is to be burned? But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shewed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, let me say again that we're glad to be here. Appreciate you and the opportunity to fellowship and to preach the wonderful Word of God, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ here tonight. Having shared this gospel around the different parts of the world, it's always a thrill to be able to talk to people about Jesus. I noticed that we in our mail was receiving some mail in from Russia where we had been, and receiving some mail in from the Philippine Islands and from different parts of the world. It thrills my heart to hear the testimonies of people around the world, and especially where I have had the privilege to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus. God, without respect of person, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. But to us, many times, when we hear those things, it is but words to us, and we don't understand. And so often, the Word of God to us is but words and not real, genuine understanding as to revelation and edification. Well, the Bible teaches that the knowledge of God is higher above us as to our understanding and knowledge than the heavens is the earth. So then we realize that there is a lot to understand, and the Bible uses the terms that great is the mystery of godliness. I know a lot of times we say, well, Brother Pike, salvation is very simple, and we're not to let anybody confuse us with a whole lot of things, and that we know that there are the simplicity of salvation and of the Word of God. I acknowledge that there is a simplicity as to repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's very simple. It's taught very simple. It's the Word of God. You can read it for yourself. And faith in that will bring you salvation. But folks, when it comes to the mysteries of God, Paul said, I'm a steward of the mysteries of Christ. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. God having been manifested in the flesh. The Bible said, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, and then caught up into heaven. This great, wonderful mystery that He promised in Revelation 10 and 7, that it would be finished at the sounding of the last trump. Whereas we know that the trumps that started the sounding in Revelation 8 continued on until there was an intervention. And this intervention brought about an angelic being that placed one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, lifting his hands to heaven, swore by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. And then from this he said, and in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God, or the mystery singular, shall be finished. Or that is to say, in the days of the sounding of the voice, the secret. The original rendering is that the secret of God should be finished. Whereas the Bible teaches that he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And it says, when or in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, then the mysteries shall be finished. And the beautiful part about that, immediately following in Revelation 11:15, the Bible said, and he sounded. And it was with that that the Bible says that now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So then, as to understand what is being said would take you no less than a lifetime. Paul, having studied at the feet of Gamaliel, being an expert as to a man of knowledge of the Old Testament, the scrolls, knew nothing until he had gone away for a number of years with Christ. And then when the Spirit of Revelation came, he began to understand. Before that, he was very, very crude in his approach to things, and he was in such a condition that he was persecuting and wasting the church of God. Today, that's the condition of the church world, and I'm speaking of Pentecostals. That's supposed to be the cream of the crop, as it has been said. They are persecuting and wasting the church of the living God, mixing with societies and all of the things as to sports and frolics of today. They are persecuting the real way of life, and they are causing a reproach to God, and they are so hungry as to the things of the world, whereas the Bible says the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. And they're so hungry for the world that they know nothing of God, and they are substituting and subsidizing as to things of the world, and they are in the flesh and cannot please God. Like there's a woman sitting here that's highly in the flesh. She is a religious person, but she's very much in the flesh, and she's very disgusted, and she'd like to leave because she's not pleased. The reason she's not pleased is because she was looking for a pretty boy for a preacher. That's bad for a man's wife because she's a man's wife. But nevertheless, God is here and He knows your thoughts and He knows what you're doing. And He knows that you have a mind of harlotry, and that's bad for you and your little family and your husband. But if your husband had been walking with God more, he'd know more about his wife. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right. So we thank God for being here tonight and having an opportunity to talk with you. And we're not going to keep you long, but we want to talk to you about the wonderful, wonderful things of God. You know, it tells us here that we are to go on to be perfect. Now, in the church world of today, there's not much said about going on to be perfect. We are so prone to believe in the grace of God and the things of God that we do not believe that there's anything that is necessary as to our activity in Christ. But this is what's causing the lethargy of the church. See, there is an activity for God's people. There is something for God's people. The more that the preacher preaches that there's nothing for God's people to do, the more that the devil gives them something to do. And the more they exercise themselves in the things of the world because they're not occupied with the things of God. You love the Lord? Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. It didn't strike too well with this woman. She tried to pass that off by making it look like she was just part of the congregation. But in her spirit, she's very moist because she realizes now that God knows her state of condition. And it wasn't at all as she tried to make it appear. All right, so then we find out that the church world is in problems because they don't have a vision. See, they don't have a vision for God. Nobody's given them anything to do. Whereas the Bible said that we are to go out as overseers and we're to hire them and we're to put them in the vineyard and God will pay them. And though it's a late hour, yet we're still commanded to go out and do these things for Christ's sake. So then here we are today, we're out here trying to hire you, to put you in the vineyard, to give you a place in God, that you might be able to enjoy the wonderful richness of God. Because there's many things that needs to be done. There's much to be done for God. We need to do something for God. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to break loose from the ball games and break loose from the movies and the televisions and all the things of the world and get out of those things that we're preoccupied with. And we need to come into the things of God. We need to grow up into the fullness of God. That is, the Bible said, to go on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. All that is, we're going to a full reward. There is a full reward. And the Bible tells us that we are to go on to a full reward. So then we're looking forward to going on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. To grow up into Christ. But see, that's not exciting to some people. Some people are not excited because they don't see anything to grow up into. That is, they don't have the leadership that they should have as to these things being shown to them. And the people that are in the ministry, a lot of times, are so interested in the world. And as to comparing themselves with one another, the Bible said they're not wise. They're looking for scholarship and titles. And they're looking for monetary values in the world. And they want to be rich. And the Bible said that we should flee these things. It said, flee these things, O thou man of God, and lay hold on eternal life. Not that God isn't going to make rich, for the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. God giveth riches, and God giveth scholarship as to the right kind of understanding, and God gives us all these wonderful blessings. But see, what we need to do is to realize that we are not to seek those things. The Bible said that we are to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto us. So then we're to go after God. We're not to go after the things of the world. See, God doesn't want us whoring after the things of the world. But He wants us to go after God. I need to go after God. You need to go after God. And especially the ministry needs to go after God. See, we need to follow God and walk with God. And we need to get in the Word and get in the Spirit and grow up into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Now, I know that we can have the milk of the Word. We're taught that we should have the milk of the Word. That is to say, if you don't have the meat of the Word, then desire the milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby. I say to you, as if you was a babe, I'd say, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby. And so then you have the milk of the Word. But at the same time, the Bible teaches he that hath the milk of the Word is not made perfect in the Word. He's only a babe. And the Bible said, though he is in the Lord and though he's growing in God, yet he does not have what God wants him to have. Because the Bible teaches that he that is a babe is still imperfect so far as growing up into the Word and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. Now, see, that is to say you come to a place to where you begin to discern between good and evil, like I'm about to do now, with a man sitting here that's in a hostile spirit, that's in bad shape, and he feels he's very religious, and he's judging me tonight, and he feels like he's judging me and scrutinizing me because he thinks I'm vainly puffed up by my fleshly mind, when really and truly he's vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and God is judging him. See, the Bible said with the same judgment that you judge, this you'll be judged with. He's over to my left, if you'd like to know, and the woman's over to my left too. Both of them happen to be sitting on the same side tonight. So then we see that we think we know something when we don't know something as we ought to know. Now, this man being in this kind of condition will give you some idea of what I'm saying tonight. He feels like he is a scholar as to his knowledge in the Lord, and that he knows something when he don't know something as he ought to know. First of all, he feels like he's scrutinizing me because he is so well advanced and he's so sure that I'm not right and he'll find it out. But I've already found out his condition. Let's give the Lord a hand. So you see what kind of condition he's in. All right, that's what God thinks of him. Now, I look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. If I look on the outward appearance, I can know nothing tonight. But if I allow God to look on the heart and God speaks to me, then God knows all things and God knows your heart. And God knows, of course, his heart is not right with God. He's only a hindrance in here tonight. But I thank God for those that love the Lord. With his companion, it's not that way. With his companion, she's just a little bit skeptical as to find out what there is about me because I've already said these things. But she's willing to learn and willing to understand. All right, so then we know where we're going, we know where we've been, and we know where we're at. See, what we want to do is grow up into the Lord Jesus. Because as babes, as with milk, we are not yet skillful. We are unskillful as long as we are on milk. But when we come to the meat, then we are strong in God. For the meat is for the strong. See, the Bible said, they who have by reasoning. It takes a little bit of reasoning. The Bible said, come and let us reason together. And it takes a little bit of reasoning. It takes a little bit of our time. It takes some time in solitude. It takes some studying of the Word. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved, the workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. So then we find ourselves studying the Word of God and coming into the things of God. Then we find ourselves growing up in God. And after a while, we begin to see the revelation of the Son of God, and we begin to think, my God, Lord, where have I been? Why have I been whoring after the world when all of these great, wonderful, beautiful things is right here at my fingertip, and this great, wonderful world of heaven and all of these other things, how wonderful this is. And then we get so excited that we could care less, as the world says, about all of those things that are around us. But folks, let me tell you, as long as we've got our mind on ball games and sports and things of the world and whatever, then we're never going to grow up in God. And this is where the preacher hits a snag. See, when he begins to hit the things of the world, he hits that carnal mind. And that carnal mind of that man or woman that loves the things of the world, they dig in against him. See, because the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God. And they that have this carnal mind abide in death. They do not have life, but they are abiding in death. With this, they have the love of the world in them. And the Bible said, if the love of the world with you are in you, then the love of the Father isn't there. See, the love of God can't be there as long as you are worldly minded. Because to be worldly minded is death. And if you abide in trespasses and sin, you're dead while you live. See, some are dead and twice dead, and they're plucked up by the root. That is, they don't have any connection with God at all. They not only are dead as to being spiritually dead, they are dead altogether in the sight of God. They're plucked up by the root, which means no spiritual connection, no spiritual life. And that means that they're dead completely, because this life is a temporal life, and after a while it's going to run out. There's not going to be anything left of this life. You that are sitting here, whether you're young or whether you're old, you've got a great future to look forward to, and that is to be fed to the worms. You're going to be fed to the worms. It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter what your scholarship is. It doesn't matter how much understanding you have, how much prestige you have, what kind of position that you feel in life, what kind of a career you have. It doesn't matter about the monetary values of life as to what you possess. You're headed for the grave. You're going to feed the worms. That's all you're good for. See, that's why we should never be heady and high-minded. And that's why we should never think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We should think soberly according to the measure of faith that God has dealt unto us, because the only thing that's going to last or reward or benefit us is faith in God. And according to the measure of faith you have, that's what you are. Now, I could have a lot of money tonight. I could have the things of the world and all these kind of things. I could have that. But see, that wouldn't make me anything. If I had $1 billion tonight, I would be no more than I am. See, a man, I should never think more highly of myself than unless it is faith. As to whatever the faith is, then I think according to the measure of faith. See, that takes me beyond that of a man. That takes me beyond that of a natural, normal human being. See, if I said to you tonight, I would say, would you like to be greater than a human being? Would you answer me then and say, I would like to be greater than a human being? You would. If I ask you tonight soberly and you knew that you could be greater than a human being, then you'd want to be greater than a human being. You understand what I'm saying? But as long as we stay within the realms of human understanding, we're still on the level of a beast, and that's all we are. Though we think we look good, though we think we are great in the world, though we have diplomacies, though we have all these things that we're planning for as to careers and whatever and positions and feel important, but we're nothing but a beast. You know, scientists isn't wrong. Someone says, well, I think scientists is wrong because they say that we are a beast. Scientists isn't wrong. You know, a beast recognizes a beast. A beast. People are nothing more than a beast. Every person that is born into this world is nothing more than a beast. And the only way that they're going to get out of that world is to be born again. As long as they're born into this world, they're born into death, and they're born as a beast. They are brought into this world and they're no more than a beast. And in Adam, all die, because it was from the beast that this thing started. It was from the garden that this thing started. The origin then is of a beast. So then we say, well, Brother Pike, isn't Adam the Son of God, or wasn't he the Son of God? Or isn't he our forefather as the Son of God, because the Bible said he was the Son of God? Adam was made in the image of God, we know that. And he was illuminated with eternal life, but he never at any time had eternal life. Neither did Eve have eternal life. If they had eternal life, they would never have died. They'd still be alive as today. The fact that they died proved that they did not have eternal life. But they were illuminated with the Spirit of God as to the image and likeness of the Son of God, and remained in the presence of the Shekinah glory as to life, and would have had life right on had they abode within the Shekinah of God. But the very minute that the beast enticed them out from the presence of that Shekinah, then they died, and men have died ever since. And people who do not abide under the Shekinah die. But even in the day that we're living in, as to the blood on the seat of atonement, then people are still protected by God. That's hard to get a hold of, isn't it? But yet it's not to the extent that the Bible said that God so loved us while we were yet in our sins that Jesus died for us. And Jesus didn't just die to take away your sins, but the Bible said he died to take away the sins of the world. So then when we look around us and we see all the medical sources as to healing and all of the benefits as to monetary values and care and comforts of life and convenience of life, then we understand that Jesus must have taken away the sins of the world. Because if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever as to God, and if the severe judgment of God came upon the Israelites in the time that it did, then that means that Jesus today would do the same thing. And what would happen to you and I? He'd just open up the earth and it would swallow us up. Because we're no different from them. There's no justification as of self. There's no one that can save himself. There's no one that's ever lived holy except Jesus.
as to salvation, because the Bible said all of man's righteousness is as filthy rags. And we obtain the salvation through the grace of God as of what God has done for us to make us to be this in Christ Jesus. That whatever He wanted me to be, He made the Son of God to be that. And then transformated my mind into His mind. And He translated my spirit into His spirit. And He's transfiguring my body into His body. So then we know that whatever we are that in Christ. Or that is to say, God doesn't ever look at you or look at me, but He looks at Jesus. And if He ever at any time bypassed Jesus to look at you and I, then we'd be in a terrible circumstance. We'd be in a horrible condition. Because if any time God ever looked at us, this is the way He would look at us. Though we look in the mirror, and though we feel that we're handsome, or we feel that we're pretty, or we feel that we've got muscular physique, you know, in that we jog and we lift weights and do all the things that people do, you know. Speaking of people, Paul said, I say me to keep from seeing you, because I know some of you do that. And a lot of times, if it's not the congregation that I'm speaking to, then as to those that I see, it's those that I speak to on the television or on the radio or under the tent or wherever some of these tapes go. See, so then, I say to you, if God looked on you, He wouldn't see you like you see yourself. He wouldn't behold you as that fine, handsome, intelligent man of ability and character. He wouldn't see you like that. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, how would He then see me? He would see you as a bastard child. And He would see you as a perverted image. Because He said, in the morning, I will hate your image. I will despise your image. In the morning, I'm going to hate your image, or I'm going to despise your image. Because you are born in iniquity, you are conceived in iniquity, and your image is an image of iniquity. So then, though we feel good, and though we pride ourselves in being something, you know, as to our own mind, in that every man's ways is right in his own eyes, yet it's a true fact that when God sees us, He sees us as one, and that is as the bastard child image, as the beast, as that which is abhorred of God, and that which is out of wedlock, and God literally despises us. So then we say, as in the morning, God will despise our image unless we're born again, unless we come into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the full measure of that stature, or whatever we can obtain unto us to whatever we're doing. See, we've got to get out of that old bastard child image. We've got to get away from that old beast image. We've got to get away from that old image of the world that God abhors. We've got to get away from diplomacies of life and ambitions of life and all these things that life offers to us. The Bible says, as one man gives a diplomacy to another man and another man to another man. And the Bible said, and these measuring themselves among themselves are not wise. These are not wise. And the Bible said, because they love the admiration of men more than the admiration of God, they're not wise. See, but what we're seeking is the admiration of God. We're God children. We're sons and daughters of God. What do I have to try to obtain in the world? Why do I struggle to obtain something in the world? I own all things to begin with. Why would a man that was a billionaire go out to struggle to try to obtain something that he already possesses? I own all things. The Bible said I belong to Christ. And Christ has given me all things. All things are yours, He said. I own all things. All things are mine. Someone would say, well, how do you get that, Brother Pike? Well, it's for sure, I've said this a lot of times, one man that outlives another man, it's for sure he's the one that's going to own it, because the other fellow's going to be dead. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's right. So then, how do I own all things? Because I'm going to outlive all people. Come on, folks. They're going to have to give it up, but I'm going to still be around. And the song said, I'll live on, and I'll live on. And all your possessions and all your wealth, what are you going to do with it? You're going to be dead. I'm going to have it because I'm going to be alive. I'm alive. Jesus said, I once was dead, but I'm alive now forevermore. And you know who's going to share it with me? The sons and daughters of God. The sons and daughters of God. They're the ones that's going to share it with me. We're all going to have it together. So then I preach to you tonight that we should be like Jesus. We should grow up into the fullness of the Lord Jesus. Why does a son of God want to go out into the things of the world, folks? Why do you want to do that? Why would a man go out here and get in a hog pen and wallow in the mire? Why would a man that's sober and sane go out here and get with a bunch of dogs and lap the vomit? Jesus said those that are without are dogs and they're swine. And we are sons and daughters of God. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a son of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of the Lord. Why should we go to the hog pens and get in the hog pens? Why should we do that? We don't want to mess with those kind of things. Those are animals out there. Those are beasts out there. You're not a beast. A beast will die, but you're not a beast. Then you say, well, what are we, Brother Pike? Maybe you can't receive this. The Bible said, if any man can receive it, let him receive it. No man can receive anything, save it be given him of God. Or that is to say, if God opens your understanding, inasmuch, thank you, Brother Ben, inasmuch as the Bible says that the wicked shall not even see when good comes. The eyes of their understanding being darkened, they'll never be able to see this good. But our eyes being enlightened, or we come to the understanding as to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. That is to pray that God would give unto us the spirit of revelation that we might understand these great, wonderful things that God is saying to us. See, then, who are we? Who are we? Are we then human beings? No, I spoke about a level beyond that. Did you know the highest form of creation in the world is man? I think you'll agree to that. And the reason that Satan tried so hard to get into man, because man is the highest form of creation. In the world, the woman is under the control of the man. I know we've come to equal rights and all these kind of things, and I know we're fussing and fighting over it with every creature, every creed, every color, every nationality across the world, wherever we go, and man and woman is at each other's throat. And the woman said, I'm equal to you, you know, and I can do whatever you do. And the man said, no, you're supposed to be under me. The Bible said, I'm to rule over you. You know, six of one, half a dozen another. We got everything in a confused state of mind, and we got a conflict, and we're like a dog running around after his tail. You know, like the old Indian in the wilderness, as we say, the wilderness wandering around and around and around the old death march. That's the way people are. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth or the truth of God. I say to you then, who are you? How would you answer me? You would say, well, I'm a man just like you're a man, Brother Pike. Or I'm a woman. But I would say unto you, if you're born again, then are you a man? Then are you a woman if you're born again? I would say no, of course not. I'm born into this world a man. A man is a beast. A man is made in the image of sonship. And the highest form of creation in the world is a man, but he's still a beast. And Satan sought to get into man because that was the highest form of creation, that he might rule the world, in that he's the prince of this world. He has control of this world, and this world is delivered into his hands. He made that plain when he was talking to Jesus on the mountain. This is given unto me, that I might give it to whomsoever I will, if you'll fall down and worship me. And a lot of people are following after him. He loves the world, save as the things that be of the world. And even when Jesus rebuked the devil in Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest the things that be of the flesh, and not the things that be of God. So then you find that all of these diplomacies, all of these sports, all these activities of the world, all these positions, all of these things as to obtaining offices and being celebrities and being dignitaries and all these kind of things is of the devil. It's of the world. It's of the flesh. Though I know that there are responsible people that are holding responsible places. And I know God has allowed this even as to friends of the bridegroom. I realize that. See, and I know that they're holding positions that are of value in this human life. And there are places that they are in that are prestigious. And the Bible teaches that we're not to speak evil of dignitaries. We're not to do that. But I'm speaking on another level. I'm speaking of heavenly things and true dignitaries. See, and these people that look so important, they're not important at all. If they were important, why would they put them in a box and feed them to the worms? When they've been in their office, we say 30 years, and all of a sudden they begin to age, and then they die. Then they put them in a box, and they do away with them. Why would they do that? If they're so important, why would God let that person die? Why? Somebody would say, well, for the same reason he lets the church folks die. You've never seen a real Christian die. There's no such thing. Somebody would say, well, they die just like everybody else. They put them in a box. No, I beg your pardon. The Bible teaches they go to sleep. Well, someone says six of one, half a dozen of the other. Same thing. No, it ain't the same thing. Not the same thing at all. The Bible said the body without the spirit is dead. But when they talked to Jesus about this concerning Lazarus, he said, Lazarus sleepeth. He said, I go to awake him. And Paul spoke of a great mystery of God where he said, and it shall come to pass, there's going to be a day when we're not going to sleep. As I say sometimes, because we're not sleepy. We're not going to sleep. See, we who are sons of God, we will come to a day when the body will actually be changed and never be put in the dust. And the Bible said the sounding of the last trumpet, of which I spoke to you at the beginning of this sermon, at the sounding of that last trumpet, he said the mystery of God should be finished. And then he said, behold, I show you this mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality, for there is a spiritual body, there is a natural body. He said, from this terrestrial over to this celestial, from this corruptible over to this incorruptible, and we're going to bear the image of the heavenly, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we born the image of the earthly, which is Adam, as in Adam all die. So then there is a sleep, and there is a death. And I say this so often. When your body departs, as to a separation, your spirit goes away with God, then that is sleep. But when your spirit separates from God's spirit, that is death. And when the Bible said that we pass from death unto life, it means that my spirit shall never be separated from God's Spirit. For God is the Spirit of life. And God has entered into my spirit and God's Spirit is interwoven, it's one, and I am eternally alive right now. Right now. It's not later. The Bible said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God. It doth not appear as to the looking eye, the listening ears, as to what you are as sonship. But you already are sons of God, and you already have passed from death unto life. And so then that means that God's Spirit has come into my heart and God's Spirit is abiding within me and dwelling on the inside of this temple, and the tabernacle of God is in the earth, as John said. We're the tabernacle of God. And so then God is tabernacling within us. He is walking within us. And the Bible said these people that teach contrary to this, and these people that say contrary to this, that these are antichrists. They are anti to the fact that God, the eternal Spirit, lives in the human body. That this life of God may be made manifest in your mortal genes. So they're antichrist. See, they would have you believe it's just a little system like of going on into the world and having all the social benefits of life, becoming something great in your community and just relating to the world out here, and that you just believe and there's nothing you can do about it. There's no real power. The Bible said denying the power thereof, and that the power is the Holy Ghost, and that the Bible says, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. So then they would have you believe that you should separate yourself. And they do. The Bible said sensually, having separated themselves from the Spirit, they're dead while they live. Through their human senses, they have separated by reasoning. They have separated themselves from God. The carnal mind of reasoning has separated them from faith in God's Word. And that's why the Bible says that we should not lean to our own understanding, but casting down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, that we should bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, and present ourselves, even our bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is but a reasonable service. All right. So then again, I would say unto you, then what are we? What are we? Are we then more than mere man? Was Jesus more than a man? Jesus said one time concerning John, he's more than a prophet. Now, could it be that there are some in the world today that are more than mankind? Is there something that would be more powerful, more preeminent in the world today? See, if I lean to my own understanding, then am I carnally minded, and that is death, because the Bible said the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Or that is to say, Eve, when you mess with carnality, when you mess with knowledge, knowledge puffeth up. That's the bite of the old serpent. And when you mess with intellectual reasoning and scholarship and these kind of things as to your human ego, then shall you die. For to be carnally minded is death, because the carnal mind is Satan's tool. And Satan has awoven himself with this and infiltrated the human mind. And he is the possessor as to the controller of the world at this present moment, because it is under a curse. And he said, you don't bother with those things. And especially not to bother with those things as to a doctrine, to taste not, to handle not those things whereby the soul shall perish with the using. So then we say, who are we then? As Jesus said one time, who do men say I am? Who are we? Who are we then the same person that was born into this world in the natural life? Of course not. Of course not. Why? Someone would say, well, why, Brother Pike? Because that person is dead. When you're born again, that person is dead and buried in a watery grave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're planted in His likeness, in His wonderful name. So then the identity of you and I as to the world has completely been swallowed up and lost. Then who are we? We are now born again. We now have a new name. And we now are a new creature in Christ. And we're going to have a new world. For the Bible said heaven and earth is going to pass away. The Bible said the coming of the great light. Open the book of Revelation, it records it, and the heavens passed away. With this great light, the heavens passed away and the earth passed away. And the Bible speaks of God being the great light unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen or can see. That is to say, Jesus Christ alone dwelling in this light hath immortality. The immortality of Christ Jesus, Him dwelling in that light. And if this great light is an understanding, then where does that put us today? And this great wonderful light of God, this great wonderful understanding of God, this great wonderful light that is moving the shadows out of our life. And this dawns on us. We see a typical thing in the diplomacies of life as to the natural things, like colleges and whatever. But then in the reality of this great, wonderful mind, you know, it's coming forth. And this mind is breaking forth within us and moving the shadows of despair and fear and doubt out of our lives to change us in that wonderful image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, in all the invisible things of God from the creation of the world, clearly understood by the things which do appear. Oh, that is to say, all the things that we see around us have to be symbolic or typical. Paul called them types and shadows or allegories. So then we're being educated by God Almighty by these natural things in life. We're beholding and we're seeing and experiencing these things. But beloved friend, there's a light that's breaking forth. And this great wonderful light is so bright that it's blinded to the creatures of darkness. It's blinding to them. The Bible said they cannot see when good comes. Their eyes have not been enlightened. They are creatures of darkness. You ever been out in the dark and watched the owl and the different ones at night? I've been out there in the middle of the night. We out in the woods praying when there'd be no light. Just talking to God all by myself. And I've seen the creatures of the night as they begin to come out. As soon as the daylight was gone, the creatures of the night came forth. But as long as there was daylight, these creatures never came out. But just as quick as the light began to fade away, here comes the creatures of the night. Just as quick as the sun is gone, here comes the moonlight. As a reflector, remember the moon's nothing more than a reflector. It comes out. And then between that moonlight and the morning light as to the day star, where the Bible speaks of the day star dawning within your heart, as to bring into the morning when He'll despise your image. So then between the night as to the moon going out and the sun coming in, there's one lone star that's called His star. It's called the day star. And right now we're moving into that place, going toward that tribulation period, waiting for that great day light to come that's going to cause everything to dissipate, that great light that's going to cause the earth to flee away. Right in between that time and the going out of this lesser light, as to the church light, as between this, that great star is coming up, that great one that shall appear and show His hands and said, this is what You did to me. This is what You did to me. They said, where did you get the nails? He said, in the house of my friends. In the house of my friends. That's sad, folks. We like to look at the Jews and say they're to blame. But let me tell you something. There's never been a greater crucifixion than what the church is doing to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. They're crucifying God, God the Word. And they're crucifying the knowledge of God and the Word of God, or God. They're crucifying Him afresh and putting Him to an open shame. In the things that they're doing, because they will not walk with God, they will not seek God, they do not care about the ways of God, and they're gullibly moving toward the things of the world. Their whole incentive is toward the things of the world. Their labor, and this might be striking, not to be offensive, even though the Bible said in many things we offend all, and the Bible said we're rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. Sometimes we're a little rude in what we say, but let's think about this now. Who are you if you've never been born again? Who are you if you've never been born again? If you're not one of God's elect as to the predestination of God from the foundation of the world, then who are you? We have to take stock to find out who we are. The Bible said, make your calling and election sure. Examine yourselves and see if you're just a religious person or if you're just a believer as to a natural thing, you know, as to some ritualistic of religion. Or find out if you're rooted and grounded in the faith of Jesus Christ. Who are you? The Bible says that he hath put the serpent on his belly, and all of the labor is for his belly, because his belly craves it of him, and is for his mouth and for his belly. All the labor that he does is for his belly. Whether he gains prestige or whether he gains office or whatever he is part of the generation of vipers. And all of his labor is for his belly. And all that he does in life is to create something better for his belly. I say this sometimes and it don't sound too ethical, but it's true. You know, they say in the world, tell it like it is. A man labors all day to get money so he can buy a bed to lay his belly down and rest his belly. So that his belly can get enough rest to get up in the morning and go to the table. And he's labored that he might have something to feed his belly. And then he puts his belly in the car and he rides his belly around all day long. And then he goes back to work to get something else to feed his belly. And all of his labor is for his belly and for his mouth, because the Bible said his belly craves it of him. Now, what does that make an individual? That makes him the old serpent. The old generation of serpent. And you follow them, and when you follow them, you know what you find? A crooked path everywhere they go. They manipulate, and they call it scholarship, and they call it business, but they manipulate and cheat and swindle and steal from the upright in heart. Isn't that right? That's the reason when Brother John came, he laid the axe to the root of the tree and cut down that old generation of people all the way back to the garden. He cut the whole tree of them down all the way back to the garden. And there came forth something new, and that new thing was Jesus. That new thing was Jesus. Having been delivered for our offenses, he was raised again for our justification. And they're raising in a new form. The Bible said, and this is the beginning of the creation of God. So then Adam wasn't the beginning of the creation of God at all. He was an instrument for Satan. He was an instrument for Satan. Somebody said, oh no, Brother Pye. Well, why is it then that the Bible said, in Adam all die? And the Bible said that death is the enemy of God. God doesn't have any fellowship with death. And God didn't instigate death, and God didn't bring death into the world. You know, we act like death is God's fellow man. The way we act. But death is God's enemy. It's a hated thing. Can you cuddle death when it steals your little child? And it steals your mother? And it steals your loved one and takes your life? Can you cuddle death? Can you say then death is a friend of God when the Bible said God is love? Did God then instigate death? Or did God create death? Or did God bring forth death? The Bible said death came by man. You're to blame for that. He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, if you go carnally minded, you're not going to be able to be spiritual minded. You're not going to be able to believe. The things of God will never live in your mind, because that mind is death. That mind is the mind of Lucifer. That mind is the mind that feeds the belly. That mind that is saving the things that be of the world. That mind that wants prestige and position and all these other things and wants to be rich and do these things, see? That is the mind of death. That is the mind of sorrow. That is the mind of heartaches. And folks, the bad thing is that preachers are in that same kind of condition. They're just running preachers as so-called through school. And they're not preachers at all. They're not men of God at all. They're social workers that collect people in little groups. And they bring these people into little groups so that they can watch over them and cuddle them and pet them until they all die and go to hell, because the Bible said if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. See, and they know nothing of the Spirit. They've never been born again. All they've done is been schooled. See, and they are twice dead and plucked up by the root. It's disgusting, isn't it, sister? Because it doesn't fit your way of life. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're one of those things I'm talking about. And the Bible said, and the serpent is on its belly because its belly craves it of them. And the people that love these passions, you know, they're gullibly given to passions. They're overrun with passions. They have a gullible desire for the passions of life. That's all they care for. Eat, drink, and passions. That's all they care for. See, and when they get in the congregation of the righteous, they can't hardly stand it. They can't sit there. They're miserable. They got nerve trouble. They've got all kinds of problems. You know what's the matter? The devil is driving them out of their mind, because the devil has to leave. When the word of God is preached, the devil has to get up and go. And if they don't turn the devil loose, then they have to get up and go. Let's give the Lord a hand.
But the Bible said the wicked shall not sit in the congregation of the righteous. All right.
So then we see what we're talking about tonight. All right. Give me a few more minutes and this miserable woman can leave this, as she would call it, a miserable place. And the devil can find rest. Most likely she'll have you to stop on the way to get her a hamburger, a milkshake or something. It's been such a terrible ordeal. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So then we find that we are more than men, and this probably will divide my congregation right here. Right here. What are we then, Brother Pike? We are nothing less than gods. Nothing less than gods. Now then somebody says, bless God, he blasphemed. I knew he was going to do it. I knew he was going to do it. Bless God, bless God, bless God, they say. But let me tell you something. Jesus said, you're gods. Isn't that right? He said to them, they said, you blaspheme. Why do you say that, Jesus said? Because you being a man make yourself God. He said, is it not written in the scriptures that I have called ye gods? I went back to the scriptures to check it in the book of Psalms. He said, you're gods, but ye shall die like men. He said, you do err not knowing the scriptures. Is it not written in the scriptures that I've called ye gods? If then they were called gods as unto whom the word came, how much more, folks, on this side of Calvary are you then gods? For the Bible said there was none greater than John. And nevertheless, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Then what are you? You are a god. You are a god. Someone would say, well, what do you mean by that? Tell me what a God is. What is a God? A God is something that lives forever. I said a God is something that can't die. The generation passes away, but the God lives on. And then another generation goes, but the God lives on. And another generation goes, but the God lives on. Is anybody planning to live on? Let me see your hand. Does that mean you believe you're a God? How else could you be anything else? Folks, we are born to be eternal. That's why the Bible said we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's why the Bible teaches my Father and I are one. And Jesus said, make these one, Father, even as we're one. And you know, I say this so often. A lot of folks say, well, you better watch out now, Brother Pike. You're going to be taking the glory of God. You hear that so often, you know. Now, let's just kind of tiptoe. Let's don't get too hasty here. You'll be taking the glory of God. And the Bible said that his glory he will not give to another. I agree with that. The Bible does say his glory he will not give to another. But we're not worried about taking the glory of God. Why should we worry about taking the glory of God when he's already given it to us? Let's give the Lord a hand. For the Bible says, Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. Isn't that the glory of God? Sure, the Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of that glory. So then we know where we're going. We know where we've been. We know where we're at. So we thank God because we are gods. I said, well, I don't feel like that. Well, that's what I'm preaching to you for. Wouldn't you like to be one? Wouldn't you like to get born again? We got some in here. We got some in here. Would you like to be born again? Would you like to be one? Would you like to live forever? Would you? You can be one. That's why Jesus came, so you could be one. All right, so then we see we're talking about going on to perfection. And Paul said, I wish this even the perfecting of your faith. That is to say, if I can tell you the things that God wants you to know, and if I can detail these things to you, and if you'll listen, and if you'll believe, and the Bible said it's not the man speaking to you, but God speaking from within his temple, to let all the world keep silent in that they shall all be taught of God. So then we see if God is speaking to us, then his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I said this the other night in our service. You know, I say, the Bible said, you say what you will, it'll be done unto you. Isn't that Bible? It said, just say what you will, and don't doubt. And it'll happen. Whatever you say, it'll happen. Decree it in your heart. It'll come to pass. Ask of God, don't doubt, and you can have it. Isn't that right? You believe that? That's what believers believe. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Word of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Word in the beginning said, let there be, and there was. And somebody said, well, I just don't see where I can do that. I didn't say you. I said the Word. All you got to do is be yielded. All you got to do is give yourself to God. Isn't that right? Give yourself to God, and the Word will speak, and let there be. And the Bible said, whatever you say, you'll have. Isn't that right? The Bible said Paul done these great mighty things at the hand of God. Isn't that the way he done them? He spoke those things at the mouth of God. And we're speaking, and it's not us speaking, but God. Then isn't that right? So then we are gods. And yet the Bible said, ye shall die like men from the lack of understanding. Somebody said, well, if you're a God, you couldn't die, Brother Pike, that way. How do you believe Jesus was God? Do you believe he's God? The Bible said God was made flesh, manifested in the flesh. Isn't that right? And yet he died, didn't he? He went up on the mountain, he stood there in glory with Moses and Elijah and come back and died like a man. Isn't that right? So then he died. That is, he laid down this life. And no one took it from him. He said, this commandment I have of my Father, I can lay my life down or I can take it up. And he died for your sake and my sake, that we might not have to die, that we might just sleep and rest until he comes to awaken us. All right, so there's many things to be said, and if we were going to preach a sermon, it would take all night like it did Paul, if we're really going to preach a sermon. But if we just exhort you a little bit, we'll be able to close in a few minutes. All right, so then what is this great, wonderful word of life? Word of spirit and word of life. Is it exciting then to be a Christian? My, how can you go and eat out of the garbage cans of the world? How can you do it, folks? How can you eat out of the garbage can of the world? It's because you're not a son of God. When you see somebody eating out of the garbage can, you know that they are a dog, because that's what a dog do. He'll turn over your garbage can. He'll get into your garbage can. That's the way a pig will do. An old swine, he'll root around and root around, you know, because he'll get into anything and wallow in the mire. And you automatically know a child by his doing. You can differentiate between a human being and the animals. And they that are not born of God are animals. That is, if they're not the predestinated. So then they are animals. Jesus said these are swines and said these are dogs and said after that the swine has been washed, the old sow has been washed even by the waters of God to the extent that the rain is on the unjust, giving the blood to give them a chance to come to God. And the Bible said they turn this grace of God into lasciviousness, so that is they do their own ugly thing during the time of this grace period. See, and the Bible said after that they have been washed, they'll come to church. They've got religious societies. They come to church. They listen to the preacher. They give into the offering. They do all these things. And after the sow has been washed, you can tell she's a sow follower. She'll go back to her wallowing in the mire. She's got her own societies and own programs. And she's got all the things that she's going to do. And she's going back to her own dirty way of life. Her own fleshly, filthy way of life. The Bible speaks of being filthy. And then the Bible said the dog, though the dog, he's in the rain, as we would say, but after the dog is cleaned up, he'll go back to the lapping of his vomit. You know, just as quick as they get out of church, someone will start telling a little joke, and then they'll all lap the vomit together. Or they'll tell the little white lie, and they'll all lap the vomit together. Or the old sow, she's got a little program. It's just her little program, and she doesn't see anything wrong with it, and she dispute with the preacher all night. And to say, well, I don't see anything wrong with this. In the first place, she doesn't have any part or lot in the matter. She doesn't have enough understanding to see. Her eyes are blind. She can't see. She don't know anything about it. I caught two men disputing one time. One man loved the Lord, and the other man was wretched. The man that was wretched thought, well, he's a preacher. I'll get him to prove my point. So he said something to me. I happened to know that he was wretched. I knew something about his background. And he said, well, I told this man this, and isn't it that way, Brother Pike? I said, why are you disputing with him? I said, you don't have no part or lot in the matter. I said, your heart ain't even right with God. You don't even have the right understanding. How can you tell him anything? Let's give the Lord a hand. See, that's the way it is, folks. I know that everything in the world comes down on the church. And I know they're supposed to be scholars, and they're supposed to be great, mighty, intelligent beings, but they're ignorant. And Paul said, I will not have you ignorant. They dispute with the men of God and the women of God, and they go on their way. That is, the men and women of God. Because they don't want to have a dispute with them, they just go on their way to keep from having trouble with them. But the truth is that those people are ignorant. With all of their scholarships, they're ignorant. And the people that are of a good understanding are God's people. For the Bible said all of them are of a good understanding. And the Spirit of God shall be upon them and make them of a good understanding. And the Bible teaches that the time comes after that Satan has worn out the saints of God. That the time is coming. They're going to rise and they're going to take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. And folks, we're on the verge of it right now.
Can you say praise the Lord?
So then we need to be up and about our Father's business because we've got lots of things to do. See, and we need to follow the Word of God. It doesn't matter what organization that we're affiliated with or what kind of people that we're affiliated with. That has nothing to do with it. It's not where you're at or who you're with. It's what you are in your heart. And folks, if you're the right thing, you're going to speak about the right thing. And after a while, you're going to lose some fellers. You're going to lose some fellers. Oh, somebody said, well, I think I've got wisdom myself. And a lot of preachers, they say, well, I've got wisdom and I can work this thing out. You know, I'm just going to take it easy. And so they do. So they wallow in the mire today with the sow, and they lap the vomit with the dog tomorrow. And then they get up and talk about their wisdom. But let me tell you something. The Bible said, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. And the Bible said, rebuke them openly that others might see and fear, to stay away from that kind of thing. When you, if you are a preacher, if you are someone that God has called to witness the gospel, then you need to tell the truth and bear witness of the truth. For the Bible said Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. And he said, my words are truth. And he said that he that God sendeth will speak God's word. You can tell the difference between the preachers as to whom God sent and who is not of God, because God's preachers will speak the truth. So then what you need to do is have a backbone and stand up like a man. And you can't do that unless you get the Holy Spirit. No way. No way. I wish we had time to preach to you tonight. It's been a real privilege, folks, just to talk with you and enjoy this wonderful fellowship with you. It really has. You've been a real good audience. And we pray for you. We pray for you when we go our way. We don't forget you. We pray for you when we get on our knees at night or over the morning. We're calling your name, or we're calling the church as to these people, and asking God to help you, to heal you, to save you, to give you understanding, and to bless your little ones to where they won't be ravished and stolen away by the devils of this world and torn, that your heart may be torn all to pieces because of these things. So we love you. We're praying for you. Pray for us. I'd like for you to stand with me because there's so many things I'd like to say, but I know that you have things that you have to do. I know you're pressed with necessity in many ways as to those things that pertaineth unto life. We're thankful to have you. I'm glad to have Scott and his, I started to say his wife, but I believe he's here by himself. You're by yourself, Scott. Glad to have Scott here. He just come in from Colorado. He's been in service, and he's got out of service and from Ohio, and I'm glad to have him here with us tonight. Drove down to be with us. Glad to have every one of you. Some of you I know, some of you I don't know. But them that we do know, we're glad that you cared enough to come and be with us. And these that we don't know, we want you to know that we're your brother in the Lord. If you love the Lord and you're a child of God, then are we your brother. And if someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe like you do, and I'm not affiliated with the same organization. Well, I hope you are affiliated with the same organization, because my organization is the organized body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give him a hand. And if you're not affiliated with that organization, you need to get in that organization and be part of it, because it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. We're strictly non-denominational so far as church affiliation, but we believe in the things of God. And we preach to all kinds of people across the world and have all kinds of converts from their way of life and their doings in life. We get them converted over to the truth and over to the Word of God. See, and in that, a lot of times they become instrumental and become great and mighty men in the earth as a voice of truth to tell this wonderful story of Jesus. You love the Lord? They have that little song, sang them over again to me, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Beautiful words, wonderful words, these wonderful words of life. Truly they are, their spirit, and they are life. All right, can we sing a little chorus together? And Sister Dale is over there. Sing them over again to me, beautiful words of life, and let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
They're beautiful words. They're wonderful words. They're wonderful words of life.
Now, while we take just a minute, if it's all right with Brother Ben, I want you to sing just a chorus or two with me. And we'll give you a chance, if you'd like to, just to step out up here so that we can pray for you tonight. I'd like to have our prayers. If you're concerned about the Word of God in your life, then we'd like to see you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to the full measure of the full stature that you might receive the full reward. While we sing another chorus or two.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
You love the Lord?
At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I need thee, Lord. I need thee.
The altars are open.
Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to my Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away.
Let's lift our hands together. Let's everybody come to the altar tonight. Can you? Why don't we all just come to the altar tonight? Just everybody come to the altar tonight. You say, I love the Lord, Brother Pike. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And we're all here tonight for one purpose, and that is to love Jesus. To love the Lord, that is our purpose of being here tonight. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus on earth, I long to be like him. Just think, folks, you're sons and daughters of God. That means that you are God's. You've been born again. You passed from death into life and shall never come into condemnation. How can you come into condemnation? For the Bible said that you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, that God has chosen you out of the flesh and hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things.
So then, if you're not in the flesh, how can you be under condemnation? Or how can you ever come into condemnation? For the Bible speaks of them that walk in the Spirit, that are not in the flesh. For if you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in the Spirit, who walk not after the flesh. And I say again, how can you walk after the flesh when the Bible said you're not in the flesh, for God has chosen you out of the flesh? Therefore, what a wonderful thing. We should never allow condemnation to strike our faith. And the Bible said, happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing as to stumbling when he's trying to do what he should for God, or that thing which he alloweth. How happy we are. How great and wonderful it is to know that you can never die. You see people dying all around you, and then you see Christians go to sleep. Those people that are dying, it means that at death there's no more grace. The blood's on the seat of atonement right now for everybody. But see, when you die, there's no more blood atonement. And when there's no more blood atonement, then that means if you did not get right with God in your lifetime, there's no hope of the judgment. See, you're forever cut off from God. So then, as long as the blood's there, you've got opportunity. But when the blood is gone, then that means that your spirit has separated from God's Spirit. And that is death. For the Bible speaks of death as being the second death, the lake of fire. And so then you've not passed from the lake of fire. You're not passed from the judgments of God. But we have. And though we go to sleep as to the spirit departing from the body, for the Bible says the body without the spirit is dead, Jesus expressed it as sleep, and the Bible said someday we'll overcome that sleep. For behold, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. So then the separation of your spirit from your body, you're just getting a little rest, just laying down and rest. And he'll call for you. One day he'll call for you. We say that there'll be a resurrection of both of the just and the unjust, and that the unjust shall stand before God. But the Bible said the wicked live not again until that 1,000 years was finished. But we're talking about before that 1,000 years. We're talking about those, whereas the Bible said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed and then caught up to be with Christ. So shall we ever be with him. So then tonight it's wonderful to be a Christian. I can't help but be thrilled. I can't help but be excited. Because how could you be anything else but excited? No wonder the Bible said serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the great Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? We have the infilling of the Holy Ghost tonight. The great Christ on the inside of you. That hope of glory. Joy unspeakable. Folks, can you believe what I'm saying tonight? If thou canst believe, Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. Can you believe tonight? Let's lift our hands up together. While you've got your hands up together, let's sing this little song, Sister Dale, the bridegroom. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Oh, are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Sing it with me now. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Or be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. One more time. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Or be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. Just before we ask Brother Ben to come back to the sacred desk, let's lift our hands up, close our eyes, and let's sing this little chorus together. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
Sing it with me again now.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
Now let's think like this.
And I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And will give him glory, all ye people. For his blood is washed away every stain.
Sing it again now.
And I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.